Offside. Proti poslanskim privilegijem. Prejšnji ponedeljek so se v indonezijski prestolnici Džakarta začeli protesti proti vladi predsednika Prabova Subjanta. Danes so se nadaljevali s protestom Indonezijske ženske zveze pred parlamentom v Džakarti proti policijskemu nasilju in prisotnosti vojske na protestih. Povod za proteste je bila vladna uvedba mesečnega stanovanskega dodatka za poslance parlamenta v višini okrog 2700 evrov. Ta znesek je 10-krat višji od zakonsko predpisane in pogosto neupoštevane minimalne plače v Indoneziji. Protesti, ki so se začeli v Džakarti, so se sredi prejšnjega tedna razširili v večino provinc. Na policijsko nasilje pa so se protestniki konec tedna odzvali z napadi na vladne urade in domove poslancev.
Monday last week, protests took place in various cities. They demanded accountability and a reduction to these MPs' allowances. And then there was another protest on Thursday, which was largely led by labor unions who raised the problem of income disparity and inequality and demanded better labor protection and fair wages. So a lot of things happened that day. Firstly, the protests took place around the parliament complex area, but MPs were told to go to work from home. So essentially that meant that people were protesting people that were not physically there. Secondly, there was it was later discovered that there was a government directive to a large number of national media organizations to tone down their reporting of the protests. This includes not broadcasting excessive violence, for example, and to avoid publishing things that might potentially escalate people's anger. So this made people really upset. Then thirdly, there was the police vehicle running over and killing a driver that night. That name of the driver was Afan Kurniawan. So that escalated the tension and people's anger, and protests took place again on Friday and then Saturday. And people amplified the issues that were already raised, but also specifically raising the issue of police brutality. So after that, the government started deploying even more police and military personnel to major cities on Saturday, and many people were injured. There were no major protests on Sunday. There was a worry that increasing the protests would escalate the tension and give the law enforcement more excuse to use violence. So there were online campaigns asking people to stay at home. On Monday, protests resumed in some cities, such as Jakarta, Yogyakarta, Surakarta, Bandung, Kendari, Aceh, and Samarinda. Those are some of the cities that held protests. There were also protests yesterday and then today.
Potek protestov v zadnjem tednu je povzela Fadila Fitri Primandari, doktorska študentka politologije iz Indonezije na Univerzi v Essexu. Kot pojasnjuje Sučen Marching, aktivistka in predavateljica indoneziščine na Univerzi vzhodnih in afriških študij v Londonu, so bili protesti na začetku mirni.
There were protests in 32 provinces of Indonesia. This is like the biggest demonstration in decades. And at the beginning, the protests actually started very peacefully. And the people actually, the people kept saying, you know, please be peaceful. Don't do anything aggressive. They said like that to each other. And when, you know, there were provocators, always, there were some people who tried to do something dodgy. And the protesters actually caught these people and said, no, you know, you couldn't do that. So it's not the police, it's not the army who prevented chaos, it was the protesters.
Policija se je kljub temu odzvala nasilno, predvsem proti študentom in dijakom, poroča Andreas Harsono, raziskovalec pri indonezijski veji organizacije Human Rights Watch.
The protests began a week after the announcement of the parliamentarian allowance. The president announced an increase of their allowances on August 15. The first protest began on August 25th, 10 days later. Initially, It was involving university students. It was peaceful, but the police arrested mostly high school students who joined the protest. I interviewed witnesses. They told me that they saw, for instance, one paramedic told me that he saw two high school students beaten behind police barricades. That was August 25th. And also the police used excessive force, water cannon, tear gas, on that particular day when the protest was very peaceful. The army was involved, but not as major as the police. The army, of course, is not trained to deal with policing. They might use excessive force if they do, to be compared with the police. So the one that did the crackdown mostly are the police.
V četrtek je oklepno vozilo paravojaške mobilne policijske brigade na sindikalnem protestu pred parlamentom v Džakarti povozilo 21-letnega motorističnega taksista. Posnetek umora je radikaliziral prej predvsem študentske protestnike, ki se jim je pridružilo še več kot 60 sindikatov v več kot 50 mestih po državi. Med drugim so protestniki vandalizirali domove poslancev, rezidenco finančnega ministra in regionalni parlament v Makasarju. Dogajanje čez vikend povzame sogovorec.
During those 3 days, between 29 until 31, we saw local parliament building in Makassar, in Mataram, Kediri, and some of the cities were burned down. We also saw some major police headquarters abandoned by the police. The police ran away because they are afraid of the masses. And August 31st, some lawmakers' houses were looted, and also the finance minister. The people protest was massive. Of course, some people committed violence. Some protesters looted the houses. Some protesters burned the building. In general, most protesters were peaceful, but some did violence.
Protesti v Indoneziji se sicer vrstijo že od februarja. Nezadovoljstvo pa je med drugim sprožilo višanje življenjskih stroškov in manjšanje kupne moči večine prebivalstva. Protesti zadnjega tedna, ki jih je sprovociralo podeljevanje dodatnih privilegijev poslancev, so tako nadaljevanje februarskih in marčevskih, pojasnjuje Fadila.
In February, primarily from 17th to the 20th of February, there were the Indonesia Gelap protests. So these protesters had many demands, which includes protesting the concerns just mentioned, but also pulling the military out of civilian affairs and force implementation, because the government has been increasingly deploying the military to help implement some of their programs. They asked for the government to reevaluate their budget, to make education free. And another issue that was raised was police brutality, because we have been seeing that a lot over the past few years. In February, also there was also a protest by online motorcycle drivers. So that was February. In March, there were another wave of major protests against the revision to the law that governs our armed forces. So this revision expanded the military's role and authority in government and civilian spaces. And then after that, there were demonstrations here and there, not with the same intensity, but they echoed similar issues. So there was one on Labor Day, which focused more on labor rights and minimum wage. There was also a few other ones, but they were not that big. So the government's responses to these protests were largely very dismissive. They didn't really do much to address the problems that were raised, and some public figures have explicitly denied the concerns that were raised by the public. So this increased the sentiment that there's a large disconnect between the government as well as the legislature and the general public. So the protests that happened in the past week also amplified some of the issues that were already raised in the previous months, but they were triggered by something specific.
Od februarja Indonezijci protestirajo tudi proti vlogi vojske v civilni sferi.
It's not just the military, but it's also the police. So the first and foremost is that there's been a concern about violence committed by law enforcement, especially when they police protests or when they are trying to react to dissent. So that's one problem. Another problem is how much budget is allocated to the police body and the military. So they are among the top three or the top five, if I'm not mistaken. But basically things like education, for example, are allocated less money compared to the military and the police department. The third problem is how the government is now involving more military personnel in some of their policy programs, such as, for example, if they were preparing land or opening up land to prepare for some land projects, then they would involve the military to help them do that. For the free meal program, for example, there has been some involvement of the military personnel as well in distributing these programs to schools. So that was an increasing concern. Basically, people wanted the military to go back to the barracks and not be involved in civilian affairs.
Nezadovoljstvo prebivalstva povzročajo tudi nekateri vladni programi, kot je program brezplačnih obrokov, zaradi katerih je vlada uvedla varčevanje na drugih področjih.
On paper it sounds really good. I don't know that in other countries schools provide free meal programs. The problem with this program is that it takes a lot of our budget, and our budget is not strong enough to provide for such programs. Another problem with that program, apart from how expensive it is the kind of meals that were provided. So one of the promises was that the reason why the president wanted to provide free meals was to make sure that everyone had nutritious meals, that children had nutritious meals, essentially. But what was provided to these students essentially were very unhealthy, because they were trying to cut costs while also still trying to make the program still going. So that was one aspect of why the free meal program was very problematic. It took up a lot of the budget. A lot of the money that were from other departments were allocated to this specific program, which impacted the works of other departments as well. Another problematic issue, which this isn't necessarily like a government policy issue, but more like the size of our cabinet is very huge, which meant that a lot of funding also needs to go to the cabinet as well. So those are some of the problematic issues.
Sindikati sedaj zahtevajo tudi izboljšanje pogojev za delavce. Njihove zahteve povzame sogovorka.
Especially for outsourced workers who are not under like official or long-term contracts, it's very easy to terminate them. So there's demands for labor protection on that front. There's also wage disparity. So especially with the protest that happened on Thursday, these issues were raised. As also because it was triggered by the knowledge of how much our MPs are receiving, people were comparing between that huge disparity between how much the average Indonesian worker is earning and how much MPs are receiving. So mathematically, if the MPs were going to get a pay rise, then they would receive up to 35 times the amount of money that the average Indonesian worker is receiving. So that was a major issue that was raised as well.
V nedeljo je po srečanju z voditelji 8 političnih strank predsednik Prabowo Subianto napovedal umik stanovanskega dodatka in še nekaterih drugih ugodnosti za poslance. 5 poslancev je vlada suspendirala zaradi provokatorskih izjav proti protestnikom. Toda hkrati je vlada napovedala stopnjevanje represivnih ukrepov, če se protesti ne ustavijo.
President made a speech. So he promised that there will be an investigation on the police personnel who committed violations while on duty. He said that political parties will be deactivating their MPs who had issued insensitive and insulting statements. The parliament has agreed to revoke some of its decisions, including the increase in MPs' benefits, and to place a moratorium on MPs' international work travel. And the president has also said that his government will be receiving members of the public who wishes to express their concerns and demands. However, he also brought up the issue of potential anarchy, treason and terrorism, and directed the police and the military to take serious action against those who damage public facilities. And he also did not apologize for the violence that has occurred over the weekend. On Monday, he made another speech where he said that he asked the police department to promote police officers who were injured while in duty, and that he will not step down, and that he believes that the people are still with him. So this, in my view, is problematic because it is still quite insensitive to the anger that many people are still feeling. But just today, the legislature invited and received some student representatives to speak in one of their sessions, and these students spoke up about some of the demands that they've been making. So currently we're still in wait and see mode. So I'm personally hoping that the session and decision to invite student representatives are not going to be used as a cop-out, and that the parliament and government actually do something to address the concerns.
Nacionalni izvršni študentski odbor Združenja študentskih organizacij vseh univerz v državi je napovedal prekinitev protestov zaradi povečanja policijske represije. Manjši protesti drugih študentskih, delovskih in nevladnih organizacij se še nadaljujejo.
Individual student bodies and student organizations still protested on Monday. For example, in Jakarta, there were the Himpunan Mahasiswa Islam, which is the Islamic, student organization, and then there was the Gerakan Mahasiswa National Indonesia, which is also another student organization that's not within the National Executive Student Body. And then there was the Perhimpunan Mahasiswa Katolik Republik Indonesia, which is the Catholic Student Body. So they protested. There's also protests today in Jakarta. So one of the major groups that's protesting today was Aliansi Perempuan Indonesia, which roughly translates to the Indonesian Women's Alliance. So we're still seeing protests. It's been a bit more conducive, a bit more calm compared to the weekend, but because we're still very much concerned about police brutality for information, just yesterday the recap was that at least 3,337 people have been detained, 1,042 people have been injured, and at least 10 people have died.
Skupno je policija na protestih do sedaj aretirala več kot 3000 ljudi. Več deset ljudi je pogrešanih. Skupno je bilo na protestih ubitih 10 ljudi, vsaj 500 pa jih je bilo ranjenih. Policijsko represijo po koncu tedna in taktike zastraševanja, ki se jih poslužujejo podporniki predsednika, opiše Su Chen.
On Monday, the 1st of September, two universities in Bandung were attacked by security forces with tear gas and rubber bullets. And then a student in Semarang died, apparently because of being tortured by the police. We still have no evidence, but we strongly suspect that. And about 30 people have gone missing. No one knows where they are. And also, when the protest started, threats against Chinese Indonesian women flooded online platforms. I also received rape threats, actually, after I criticized the government on X. So for many Chinese minority, this protest somehow reminded them of the May 1998 rape, when hundreds of women were brutally raped during the protest against the government. So many people were frightened, but this time it was different. This time the people actually said that was, you know, don't try to make us fight against each other. And the new slogan circulated, you know, people looking at the people, we should unite. So the old trick of scapegoating the Chinese minority does not work this time.
Študentske organizacije, ki so v ponedeljek začasno prekinile proteste, so vladi postavile ultimat, na katerega odgovor pričakujejo do petka, sicer bodo s protesti nadaljevale. Vladi so postavili 17 kratkoročnih in 8 dolgoročnih zahtev. Več o tem razloži Harsono.
On Sunday, August 31st, the president met with political parties bosses and they agreed to cut the legislator allowances, but vow to take strict action against rioters, people who rioted. There was also an order to shoot on the spot from the national police chief. The defense minister also said that, more or less the same strict message from the defense minister, the police chief. The president even said those who rioted are bordering on treason and terrorism. This prompted labor union, women's alliances, university students said, let's suspend all the protests. At the same time, they issue a demand. It is called 17 plus 8 demand, 17 short-term demand, 8 long-term demand. And the deadline is September the 5th, this week. Let's see what will happen after September the 5th. The protests are smaller, but there are. We saw the, well, pretty big protests, in fact, in Gorontalo, Sulawesi Island, Samarinda, Kalimantan Island. And today, thousands of students protested in Riau, Sumatra Island. They demanded one of their student leaders to be released. In Jakarta, today, there is a smaller protest. Smaller protest is about 500. In Jakarta, by the way, 1,000 is a small protest. There is no response so far. The major demands of them all, one is increased minimum wages. Second is end outsourcing. And the third is write a law on the indigenous people rights. And what else? The fourth is reform political parties system, reform election, general election system. So far, there is no response from the government about that.
Delavsko ljudstvo Indonezije zdaj v pripravljenosti na nadaljevanje upora čaka na odgovor vlade. Stavkal še ni Matej.